"I fear not thy epidemic, man," said Ahab from the bulwarks to Captain Mayhew, who stood in the boat's stern. "Come on board!" But now Gabriel started to his feet. "Think of the fevers, yellow and bilious. Beware of the horrible plague!" "Gabriel, Gabriel," cried Captain Mayhew, "thou must either—" But that instant a headlong wave shot the boat far ahead, and its seethings drowned all speech. "Hast thou seen the white whale?" demanded Ahab when the boat drifted back.
Think of thy whaleboat, stoven and sunk. Beware of the horrible tale.
I tell thee again, Gabriel, that—" But again the boat tore ahead as if dragged by fiends. Nothing was said for some moments, while a succession of riotous waves rolled by, which by one of those occasional caprices of the seas were tumbling, not heaving it. Meantime the hoisted sperm whale's head jogged about very violently, and Gabriel was seen eyeing it with rather more apprehensiveness than his archangel nature seemed to warrant. When this interlude was over, Captain Mayhew began a dark story concerning Moby Dick. Not, however, without frequent interruptions from Gabriel whenever his name was mentioned, and the crazy sea that seemed leagued with him. It seemed that the Jeroboam had not long left home, when upon speaking a whale ship her people were reliably apprised of the existence of Moby Dick and the havoc he had made. Greedily sucking in this intelligence, Gabriel solemnly warned the captain against attacking the white whale, in case the monster should be seen, in his gibbering insanity pronouncing the white whale to be no less a being than the Shaker God incarnated, the Shakers receiving the Bible. But when, some year or two afterwards, Moby Dick was fairly sighted from the mastheads, Macy, the chief mate, burned with ardor to encounter him, and the captain himself being not unwilling to let him have the opportunity, despite all the archangel's denunciations and forewarnings, Macy succeeded in persuading five men to man his boat. With them he pushed off, and after much weary pulling and many perilous, unsuccessful onsets, he at last succeeded in getting one iron fast. Meantime, Gabriel, ascending to the main royal masthead, was tossing one arm in frantic gestures and hurling forth prophecies of speedy doom to the sacrilegious assailants of his divinity. Now, while Macy, the mate, was standing up in his boat's bow, and with all the reckless energy of his tribe was venting his wild exclamations upon the whale and essaying to get a fair chance for his poised lance, lo, a broad white shadow rose from the sea, by its quick fanning motion temporarily taking the breath out of the bodies of the oarsmen. Next instant, the luckless mate, so full of furious life, was smitten bodily into the air, and making a long arc in his descent, fell into the sea at the distance of about 50 yards. Not a chip of the boat was harmed, nor a hair of any oarsman's head, but the mate forever sank. It is well to parenthesize here that of the fatal accidents in the sperm whale fishery, this kind is perhaps almost as frequent as any. Sometimes nothing is injured but the man who is thus annihilated. Oftener the boat's bow is knocked off, or the thighboard in which the headsman stands is torn from its place and accompanies the body. But strangest of all is the circumstance that in more instances than one, when the body has been recovered, not a single mark of violence is discernible, the man being stark dead. The whole calamity with the falling form of Macy was plainly descried from the ship. Raising a piercing shriek, "The vile, the vile!" Gabriel called off the terror-stricken crew from the further hunting of the whale. This terrible event clothed the archangel with added influence, because his credulous disciples believed that he had specifically foreannounced it, instead of only making a general prophecy, which anyone might have done and so have chanced to hit one of many marks in the wide margin allowed. He became a nameless terror to the ship. Mayhew having concluded his narration, Ahab put such questions to him that the stranger captain could not forbear inquiring whether he intended to hunt the white whale if opportunity should offer, to which Ahab answered, "Aye." Straightway then Gabriel once more started to his feet, glaring upon the old man, and vehemently exclaimed with downward-pointed finger, Think of the blasphemer, dead and down there! Beware of the blasphemer's end!" Ahab stolidly turned aside, then said to Mayhew, "Captain, I have just bethought me of my letter-bag. There is a letter for one of thy officers, if I mistake not. Starbuck, look over the bag."
Every whale-ship takes out a goodly number of letters for various ships, whose delivery to the persons to whom they may be addressed depends upon the mere chance of encountering them in the four oceans. Thus, most letters never reach their mark, and many are only received after attaining an age of 2 or 3 years or more. Soon Starbuck returned with a letter in his hand. It was sorely tumbled, damp, and covered with a dull, spotted green mold in consequence of being kept in a dark locker of the cabin. Of such a letter, Death himself might well have been the postboy.
"Canst not read it?" cried Ahab. "Give it me, man." "Aye, aye, it's but a dim scrawl. What's this?"
As he was studying it out, Starbuck took a long cutting-spade pole and with his knife slightly split the end to insert the letter there, and in that way hand it to the boat without its coming any closer to the ship. Meantime, Ahab, holding the letter, muttered,
Mr. Harry, a woman's pinny hand, the man's wife, I'll wager, aye. Mr. Harry Macy, ship Jeroboam. Why, it's Macy, and he's dead." Poor fellow, and from his wife," sighed Mayhew. "But let me have it."
"Nay, keep it thyself," cried Gabriel to Ahab. "Thou art soon going that way."
"Curses throttle thee," yelled Ahab. "Captain Mayhew, stand by now to receive it."
And taking the fatal missive from Starbuck's hands, he caught it in the slit of the pole and reached it over towards the boat. But as he did so, the oarsmen expectantly desisted from rowing. The boat drifted a little towards the ship's stern, so that, as if by magic, the letter suddenly ranged along with Gabriel's eager hand. He clutched it in an instant, seized the boat knife, and impaling the letter on it, sent it thus loaded back to the ship. It fell at Ahab's feet. Then Gabriel shrieked out to his comrades to give way with their oars, and in that manner the mutinous boat rapidly shot away from the Pequod. As after this interlude the seamen resumed their work upon the jacket of the whale, many strange things were hinted in reference to this wild affair.